Introducing Ellie Weber, 9:02 on a Tuesday morning. Welcome back.
Okay.
The miracle of the mitzvah and the meaning of Hanukkah.
So first of all, people who visited and wrote notes and whatever, I mean, obviously no, it's not mandatory, but I appreciated it very much. I guess at least for the Shloshim, we ought to learn Le'ilu Nishmas, my father, Rav Mordechai ben Yeshua Menachem Mendel. Okay. Okay, I can say Kaddish after the shiur also. It would be easy to say Kaddish if it was breakfast, but okay.
Well, there's cold.
Okay. No. I want somebody else's breakfast. Okay. A week ago.
I want to ask
big questions about Hanukkah and then focus in on what I think are some of the fascinating but not always discussed issues of Hanukkah. Basic question: why did Chazal establish a holiday called Hanukkah? No, meaning it happens to be that they reestablish a Beis HaMikdash, right? Okay, that's one question. The bigger question I want to get to at the end is, you know, a lot of things happen in Jewish history. There are, to my knowledge, and I think it's pretty clear, you know, two rabbinic holidays, Purim and Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. Neither of which is necessarily, you know, the most significant, right? If the Jews of Shushan got wiped out, would all Judaism have ended, right? Or Hanukkah. Basically, what did Hanukkah get us? According to the Rambam, in the most optimistic telling of history, it got us 200 more kind of, you know, below average years of sovereignty. Of some form of sovereignty. Okay, until the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed anyway. So, you know, if you ask yourself, is Hanukkah so important that we had to... Okay, these are broad, not such great questions, but they lead to interesting discussions. And so the first thing we'll look at is the most famous Gemara about Hanukkah. There is only two blot of Gemaras about Hanukkah, so if you wanted to do every Gemara on a holiday, this is the one you should do it for. And the Gemara starts with... This is the Gemara in Shabbos, Chaf Aleph on Beis. It starts with like a bizarre question, right? My Hanukkah... As if like people didn't know what Hanukkah was. They'd been celebrating Hanukkah for quite a while, right? You don't find this question with respect to any other holiday. Why Purim? Why Pesach? Why now? To be fair, there is an obvious answer. Anybody know what it is? The obvious answer is that Hanukkah is the only holiday that's not sourced in Tanakh. Okay, every other holiday is in Tanakh, and you know, Purim has the Megillah,
right.
Holiday has, you know, Hanukkah has, I'm sure Bruce will say this at some point, you know, Sefer Maccabim, but what can you do? It's not in Tanakh. There's no, whatever, it's not that there's no historical sources for it, but the simple answer to the question is my Hanukkah, because it's not any place. But that's not the real answer.
We learned yesterday from the Shir that that's why the Rambam includes Hanukkah.
Because the Rambam promised in his Yad HaChazakah that all you would need was a Tanakh and his Sefer. And it's a lovely thought, and it's definitely true. But in this context, it's strange. My Hanukkah, why Hanukkah? D'tanu Rabbanon. Because we learned the following. B'chaf hei b'kislev yoma d'chanukah t'manya inun. The 25th day of Kislev is the first of 8 days of Hanukkah. Delo lemispeid b'hon u'delo lehisanos b'hon. It's a negative definition. What's Hanukkah? It's a day in which hespeidim are asur, and it's a day in which fasting is asur. There's nothing really, you know, where's the good stuff? It's not really here. Okay. Now, why? So the Gemara says as follows. Shekishenichnesu yivanim leheichal. Timu kol hashmanim shebeheichal. When the yivanim entered the Beis HaMikdash, they defiled all of the oil in the Beis HaMikdash. Ukishegavra malchut beit chashmonai v'nitzchum. And when the chashmonaim won the war, Badku v'lo matzu ela pach echad shel shemen. They checked, and they could find only one cruse of oil. The word cruse is rarely used, but it's always a cruse of oil for some reason. Yes?
We got to read.
Okay. We're just reading right now. Okay? So, when they won the war, they came in and they found one cruse of oil. Shehaya munach b'chotamo shel kohen gadol. Right? It had an OU. Right? It's the only, you know, it had a seal of... Right. You know. It had some seal that basically proved its holiness. V'lo hayabo ala lehadlik yom echad. But, you know, it was one day's worth of oil. And presumably they knew that it would take, this is the background, they knew that it would take at least a week to get new kosher oil. Okay. V'na'asa bo nes, a miracle occurred. V'hidliku mimenu shmona yamim. And it lit for 8 days. So the Gemara tells you, why do we have a holiday called Chanukah? The answer is because there was a miracle in the Beit HaMikdash involving oil that was only supposed to light for one night, but it stayed a lit? Okay. Oh, it stayed lit for 8 nights. Okay. Biggest miracle in the world, I don't know, but the Gemara is definitive that that's why there's a holiday. And then one more line that's fascinating. L'shana acheret, I won't translate yet, kiva'um va'asa'um yamim tovim b'halel v'hoga'ah. Okay, what? L'shana acheret.
Different year.
Right. I don't know exactly when, but it wasn't that year. It's based the way I understand it. At a later date, they turned this event into a holiday.
And there was a gap of multiple years.
It could be. Right? I wouldn't want to say because I'm not sure. What's clear is the Gemara is telling us some information that seems wholly unnecessary. Right? No one asked when did they establish Chanukah, and to the extent somebody asked that question, they're not really answering it. They're just saying a different year. All I know from this is when they didn't establish Chanukah, they did not establish Chanukah that first year. Okay? Strange. The other interesting thing, which we're not going to really investigate today, but it's worth looking at it, if you remember when we read at the beginning, what's Chanukah? The lo lemitzpeh b'hon, Chanukah is a day on which it's usher to fast and it's usher to do hespedim. Last line, Chanukah turned into yamim tovim behalel v'hoda'ah. Right, it's a much better holiday. Right, who wants a holiday of no fasting? I'd much rather have a holiday of halel and hoda'ah. Okay, fine. Fascinating stuff. I think people might need refuah shleima. I think
also,
we have extra sheets.
On the cruise and nothing to do with the
I didn't get there yet. Right? So it's definitive. In this Gemara, Chanukah was established to commemorate the miracle of the oil, and that's it. Right? There's a vague reference of Ukisha Gavra Beit Malchut Chashmanai Benitzchum, which was necessary to explain how it was that we came to discover, you know, that there wasn't any oil in the Beit HaMikdash. But it's definitive. Now, okay, if this was our only source, we would say to ourselves, okay, must be that's the miracle and something to argue about. The problem is it's not our only source. And here I'm not talking about historical. It's not our only Chazal source. Despite how definitive this Gemara is, that we have Chanukah because of the miracle of the oil, we have another really, really famous source that everybody knows that says otherwise. No. It's a prayer called Al Hanisim. Okay? No, but I'm saying it's not some extra, it's not a historical argument. The same people who wrote Al Hanisim wrote this Gemara. Right? And in Al Hanisim, which I just pulled out.
Who wrote Al Hanisim?
To not get caught up in a fight, I'm just going to say the guy's name was Chazal. Right? I'm just trying to make the point that it's not like if you pulled out some Josephus, you go, okay, maybe Chazal saw it differently than Josephus. But Chazal had a hand in and or approved the prayer of Al Hanisim, which is the polar opposite of what this Gemara says. Look in source number 2. Bimei Mati, you know, this is what we say. Bimei Mati Jo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmoni Vanav Kisha Amda Alehem Malchut Yavan. There was a war with these evil Greeks. Al Amcha Yisrael Lashkicham Torah Lavim Rechukei Rechonacha. Right, I skipped a little bit. Vatabur Achamel Arim, you helped us. Mosar Togi Borim Biad Chalashim. What's that? You gave, you know, mighty people into weak people's hands. That's a war. Rabim biyad ma'atim tmeyim ba'at torim rishayim biyad tzadikim v'zeidim biyad askei tortacha. Nothing to do with oil. One second. It's a war. Now, one second. That's what we say Al-Anisim for. At the very end, it tells you a story. Va'achar kach ba'u banecha lidvir beitecha. After the war, which was the main thing, we came to the Beit HaMikdash, ufinu ha-techalach, we cleaned it up, we purified it. Vidliku neirot b'chatzros kachecha. It doesn't even tell us here that there was a miracle. It sounds like the war was the main thing, and great news, since we won the war, we could return to the Beit HaMikdash, where we relit the menorah as in previous days. And then, v'kavush monat v'enuchalke elu lodo lalo al-rob nisech v'flosecha, or we say it differently now. It's all the same. It's not only that the main thing is the miracle of the war, and a minor thing is the miracle of the candles. Yeah. The candles isn't a miracle at all in Al-Anisim. Right? So you have two Chazal-approved sources that have opposite focuses. And they're almost exclusive. In the Gemara, the exclusive miracle upon which Hanukkah was established was the miracle of one cruse of oil that was supposed to last 8 days. I'm sorry, that was supposed to last one day, lasting 8 days. In the prayer of Al-Anisim, you have the opposite. The miracle was that we won a war, and good news, because we won the war, we were able to go into the Beis HaMikdash and light it. Okay? So they're completely opposite. It's not just that there's a different emphasis, but they're completely opposite. Now, yes?
Just a quick question. Could it be because the war was more of a civil war, that's why they didn't want to put it in the Gemara?
But, you know, it's a theory. Why would they put it in Al-Anisim? In Al-Anisim, you're right that in Al-Anisim it sounds like a war exclusively with the Greeks, right. And it's clear that we don't really celebrate a civil war. You know, okay, we'll have to work out the history.
The theory I heard was they wanted to hide it from the Romans. They didn't want to.
Okay, all possible. Let's step back to the Gemara for a second and point out a few anomalies. Again, the one I already pointed out, which is you don't find why Purim or why other holidays. The whole question is a little strange because you're talking about religious people. Everybody knows why there's a holiday of Hanukkah. That's an interesting thing. Okay, the question about the war and Lashon. Okay, we touched on all three questions. Good. So now let's move on. Let's move on to what might be the most famous halacha question ever. Not because it's the greatest question ever. It just took on a life of its own. Right?
Yeah.
Anybody know what that question is?
Yeah. Why?
It's the Beis Yosef. Let's look in source number 3. Let's just start reading. Says the Beis Yosef, V'ika le'medak. One could, you know, look carefully and ask the following question. Lama kiva'u shmona yamim. Why is Hanukkah 8 days long? Dikei van dishemen shebapach hayabo kidei lahadlik laila achat. Since there was enough oil to light for one night. V'nimtza shalo na'asa hanes ela b'shivat leilot. Turns out there was a miracle, but it was a 7-day miracle, not an 8-day miracle. Now, here you need luck to get as famous as this question is. It's not that the question is so great, but essentially it's a question that allows you to say anything about Hanukkah. Right? It's like it's a question that says, what's really going on with Hanukkah? So I am aware of the Sefer that has 300 answers to this question. Then another one came out that has 500 answers to this question. This is the question. And again, it's just the Beis Yosef's luck that it allows you to discuss any idea you have about Hanukkah. But there are stronger questions on the Gemara and on establishing a miracle to commemorate the lighting of the oil. The strongest question I know of is asked by the Maharal. And the Maharal says as follows. We have rules for when we celebrate a miracle. Okay? Arba'at tzrichim lahodot. Right? And mostly it's when your life was at risk for some reason. Says the Maharal, okay, he doesn't say it, I'll say it this way. Okay? It's the first day of Sukkos, and it's the afternoon, and you can't find, and you don't have Dalet Minim. Okay? And then a miracle happens, and you get a lulav and an esrog and a dasam and a rabbis, and you do the mitzvah. Says the Maharal, that's not something you say halal for. That's not something we say. A miracle that allows me to do a mitzvah doesn't fit into the category of miracles that we're supposed to celebrate. You understand? Right? You were an ones. You didn't have dalet minim. You didn't have any matzah. So it's great, you know, Eliyahu HaNavi showed up to your Seder with, you know, well, sadly he brought up machine matzah, so you couldn't use them. No, he showed up to your Seder with matzah. So says the Maharal, that doesn't fit into the categories of miracles that we celebrate. So says the Maharal, what happened in the Beis HaMikdash? We didn't have kosher oil. A miracle occurred that allowed us to do what? A mitzvah. That's not something that we're obligated to celebrate. Okay, so we wouldn't have lit the oil. Okay, there would have been a week, like think about it. Like there would have been a week in the Beit HaMikdash where we didn't light the menorah. I don't mean to sound, you know, irreligious, but we would have survived. We've survived worse. We would have survived. So the Maharal says, I don't get it at all. I don't get why this is a reason to have, you know, to have a holiday. That's the first question. The second question that's, I think, slightly more famous is asked in the name of the Pnei Yeshua and other people as well, which is the whole miracle was unnecessary. Why was it unnecessary? Because the din is, in the Beit HaMikdash, Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, which means as follows. If most of Bnei Yisrael are Tameh on Erev Pesach, then you bring the Karban Pesach B'tumah. Okay, forget why. So he says, if all the Jews after the war are Tameh, and the whole Beit HaMikdash is Tameh, so great, they didn't have Tahar oil. They could have used Tameh oil. It's the same question, which is, why are we celebrating an unnecessary miracle? Or why are we celebrating a miracle, yeah, a miracle that yielded our ability to do a mitzvah, which isn't up there with a miracle that saved millions of lives. It's just not up there. So it's a strange thing that the Gemara is so insistent that the reason for the holiday is the miracle of the oil, when the miracle of the oil did not involve, you know, risk of life. It just doesn't seem like the kind of thing that Chazal should have chosen to make a holiday about. And it's an 8-day holiday, and we love it, right? It just seems like, I'll say this now, and I want to get back to it later. It almost seems, and it's not fair to say this, it's simply not true. But you know how everybody secretly believes, at least for us who grew up in America, that the reason why Hanukkah is such a big deal is because it comes at around Christmas time? So I promise you that in Chazal, that wasn't why.
Was this right? Question brought up? Yes. This question brought up in the arguments over inclusion of Hanukkah in the canon?
No, there's not much. Because the truth is, Hanukkah is not in the it's not in the written canon. Most of that argument took place around Purim. Purim came before Hanukkah, and the fight about whether Chazal could establish a new holiday took place all around Purim. Hanukkah kind of just, you know, slid in on the back of Purim. Once you could do Purim, you could do Hanukkah. But so let's just do, because it's famous, let's do the Beis Yosef, and it'll move us to the next step in our discussion. Second line of number three, right? The Beis Yosef's question was different than these other questions, but similar in the sense that his question was, why 8 days? At most, it should be 7 days, because the one day we already had enough oil for. Second line, says the Beis Yosef, gives us three answers, although they kind of overlap. V'yesh lomar. Shechilku shemen shebepach lishmona chalakim. What they did was, they didn't light the whole cruise the first night. They split up the one cruise into 8 sections. U'bechal layla hayu notnim ba menorah chelek echad. Every night they would light 1/8. V'hayod dolek ad haboker. And it would light the whole night, even though it's almost like, you put in enough oil to light for 1 hour, and it lights for 8 hours. Okay? V'nimtza shebechol halayla na'aseh nes. Right? It's a technical answer. Turns out, no, the same miracle the first night as the eighth night, which is oil that had the potential to light for 1 hour, lit for 8 hours. Okay, so technically he answers the question by saying it was the same miracle every night. It raises other interesting questions, which is like, is that really the right thing to do? If you know you could light for one night, do you have the right to say I'm going to rely on a miracle and I'm going to only light 1/8 of the oil tonight? It raises those issues.
How do they know it lasts 8 days?
They knew that it would take a week to produce new pure oil.
Why don't you take that long to do it? Today.
Okay, excellent. Next. Va'od yesh lomar, third line from the bottom. She'la'achar she'natnu shemen b'neirot ha'menorah kishir. Once they filled it up. Okay, they used the whole cruise the first night. Right? So it was filled up to the top. The next morning, nishar ha'pach male k'bitchila v'nikar ha'nes af b'layla ha'rishona.
That's an alternative.
Yeah. There are three answers. The second answer is no. The first morning when they came, it was still full. So they knew that there was a miracle the first night because the oil wasn't used, right? You know, you go to the fridge, no one's looking, right? You drink from the orange juice container, and you put it back, and it's full. So you go, that's a miracle. Okay? Of course, what's the question on this one?
No, so then they were using up the whole thing on the first night, meaning they had no...
No, it was still full the first night.
They only knew that at the end of the...
They knew it the next morning.
Yeah.
No, then the question is, so then the eighth day, if it was still full, there was no miracle the eighth. At some point, they had to use the oil. Third answer. Inami, last full line. Shebelel rishon natnu kol ha-shemen b'nei rot. V'dalku kol alayla u'baboker matzu aneirot meleim shemen v'chein b'chol layla v'layla, which sounds exactly like the second answer.
What's the difference?
I'm not sure. Okay, let's say it's one answer. It's hard for me to distinguish between the two. But the point of his answers are, and here's the takeoff for what I want to discuss. Essentially, his answers are that God took oil, right, and took oil that really should have lasted only for one night and allowed it to last for eight nights. Or said a different way, that the way it worked, it's a miracle in quality and not in quantity.
No, the other way around.
No, it's exactly that. That the oil that we had did more work than it should have done. Right? If you boil it all down, the miracle, if the miracle is oil, it's that X did 8X.
It's high performance oil, you're
saying. Yeah, to a certain extent. And you'll see why it matters in a second. Because there are rules about how God does miracles in this world. Okay, it's interesting. And I'll give you an example from oil. Okay? Every miracle that God does after he created the world is done yesh meyesh, meaning you have to have something, and then if you have something, God can do a miracle with it. What's a good example? Look at the next source. Okay? It's a story that we all know in Malachim Bet, Perek Dalet. V'isha achat minishay b'nei ha-nevi'im, there was a woman, tsa'akal Elisha le'mor. She cries to Elisha and she says as follows, Abdecha ishi mate, my husband, your servant, has died. Va'ata yadata ki abdecha haya yare'et Hashem. You know that my husband was a religious man and followed everything you said, everything God said. V'hanoshe ba'lakachat et shtei yeladai lo la'avadim. And the creditors, I owe a lot of money. The creditors are taking everything away from me, including my children. Vayomer Eila. Now Elisha wants to help her. Vayomer Eila Elisha, Ma Eeselach Hagidili. What can I do for you? Tell me. And then he says, Ma Yeshlach Babayit. What do you have at home? Now, what's the question? What do you have at home? Elisha could do a miracle. He's a Navi.
You got to start with something.
So she says, "Vatomer ein lishivcha kol babayit ki im asuch shaman." The only thing I have left is a little bit of oil. The only thing I have left. No problem, says Elisha. "Vayomer lichi sha'alilach kelim min hachutz meit kol shechenayich kelim reikim al tamiti." Go to all your neighbors, borrow as many vessels as you can. Don't scrimp. Thank you. Get as many as you can. Ubat v'sagar tadelet ba'adechu ba'ad banayich. Right? Then you'll come inside, you close the door. V'yatzak al kol kelim ha'ila v'hamalei tasi'i. Right? Basically, put a big jug where the oil is. It will become full of oil. Take that away. Next one. Right? What's the sense you get? The sense you get is Elisha wanted to help her. And Elisha is capable of doing a miracle, but he needs help. Meaning, presumably, I'm making this up, but I think it's true. Presumably, if she said, all I have in my house is a cake, he would have said, get a lot of cake pans, right? And he would have turned one cake into a million cakes. And he could do the same thing with chickens and eggs and whatever he wants. But he needs a thing to work with. Because that's how miracles work in this world. Okay.
Something from nothing.
Right. Only God could, and God limited himself. And it's a fascinating Ramban. If you flip over, this is a Ramban on the Mishkan, where he's talking about the Shulchan. Now, there's parts of this Ramban we won't understand because it's Kabbalistic, but there's parts that we will understand. Says the Ramban with respect to the Shulchan, in Shmot Perek Chaf Hei Pasuk, I don't remember. I'm sorry that I didn't get that there. V'chein ha-davar. Shezeh Sod HaShulchan. Says the Ramban, this is the secret of the Shulchan. Ki birkat Hashem me'et hayot ha'olam lo nivra yesh me'ayin. The Ramban says, once God created the world, and I could have quoted the Ramban at the beginning of Bereishis, where he says, v'haaretz hayta tohu vavohu. The Ramban believes that tohu and vohu are component parts that God created ex nihilo, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing, but that everything else, God created a world in which everything else has to grow from the component parts that already exist in the world. So the Ramban says, how does the Shulchan work? Ki birkat Hashem me'et hayot ha'olam, lo nivra yesh me'ayin, because God's blessing since the creation of the world doesn't work ex nihilo. It doesn't work something from nothing. Aval olam kemin hago noheg. It's interesting. The definition of a miracle is what? Something unnatural, right? When water flows up, what makes it unnatural? Because it's against the law of gravity. So, but the Ramban says that God created a world in which olam kemin hago noheg. As if, so long as you're not doing it ex nihilo, it's as if the miracle that Elisha did, not really a miracle, it's not against nature. It's true, it's weird that you could turn this much oil into this much oil, but the Ramban says, that's still natural. You understand the point? Those are still, God created a world, back inside, aval olam kemin hago noheg, dichtiv, vayar elokim et kol asher asav vihine tov ma'od. Which the Ramban understands to be a value judgment. It's not that God was proud of his work. It was that God wasn't going to change his work. God created the world in a certain way. And that's the way the world has to run. Within certain reasonable, confines. Third line.
He changed it.
Of course he did. But I think the Ramban would say he didn't change it by Noah. It's true, it's weird for it to rain 40 days and 40 nights. But all it is taking the quality of something and expanding it. The component part exists. The oil exists. I'm just turning that oil into, oil that could do much more than we thought. Third line. Aval kishka asher yihyeh sham shoresh davar. If the thing exists, if the oil exists, tachul alav habracha v'tosif bo. Then God's blessing can literally land on it, and increase its potential for what it can do. Ka'asher amar Elisha, our story, hagidi li ma yesh lach b'abayit. The Ramban understands our story the way I did, right? Or I understand it the way the Ramban did, which is, he needed oil to work with. V'chala ha-bracha al asuch shaman umleya kala kelim. And then the blessing fell on that little cruse of oil and it filled all the vessels. U'be'eliyo kara kemach lo kalta v'tzapichit ha-shemen lo chasa. The same miracle was done by Eliyahu. And now, why is he talking about the Shulchan? So Raman says, Kabbalistically, same thing with the Shulchan. V'chein ha-shulchan b'lechem ha-panim. So too with the showbread. Bo tachul ha-bracha. It's as if God, the Raman on a Kabbalistic level, is explaining what's the point of having bread on a table in the Beit HaMikdash. So the Ramban says, because God's blessing on food can land on this bread and affect all of our food. So he says, Bo tachul habracha, last full line, u'mimenu yavo hasova l'chol Yisrael. How it works, I can't explain. But the Ramban says it's as if God symbolically requires 12 loaves of bread. If he blesses those 12 loaves of bread, the blessing will expand and cover all the Jewish people. Literally, any Kohen who gets a little bit of the Lechem Apanim feels like he had a meal. Because, let's not use words we don't like to use, it's magic bread. Now, why doesn't God just make people feel satisfied without having to eat a piece of the bread? He doesn't do miracles like that. Right? He does miracles with pre-existing materials. And if you have pre-existing materials, then it works. Yeah.
What's the mon?
What's the mon?
Yeah, mon came down from Shemayim. It's supposed to be something out of the ordinary.
I don't know. I'm not bothered by that question. Like, wow. So God made it out of pre-existing materials. Right? That must be, I'm sure that's what the Ramban would say, right? The bread itself was like regular bread, right? When you grow something in the field, okay? Let's say you weren't there for the planting. All of a sudden, crops come up. So you go, it's Yesh Me'ayin. The answer is no. You know it wasn't Yesh Me'ayin. There was a tiny thing at the beginning. So there was a tiny thing, you know, for the mon. I don't know how to explain it. Okay. But I'm working with this idea that the Ramban believes in deeply. And that is that God does miracles in the quality of something, right? He can change the quality of something to turn it into something bigger. Now, if we come back to our fundamental question, which is, why do we celebrate Hanukkah? Okay? Let's come back to the beginning one, right? The Gemara says, because of the miracle of the oil. Al-Anisim says, because we want a war. Okay? What do the two have in common? So here's the theory. I'd like to say that I made this up, but I certainly am not smart enough to have made it up, and it appears in other places. But it's something that very much speaks to me. There's no question that the miracle is what mattered. I'm sorry, the war was what mattered most. The questions about the oil, I think, are strong questions. You like the menorah, you don't like the menorah. We saved Jewish lives, we saved Jewish sovereignty. We created a new society for Jews that lasted for however long it lasted, right? It's got to be that's more important than, you know, oil lasting more days or less days. But on some level, it's the same miracle. Look back at Al-Anisim for a second, in source number 2, right? Think now. Giborim biyad chalashim, rabim biyad ma'atim. What's that? God, what's the miracle? It's quality and quantity.
Okay.
It's the same miracle, but with people. Meaning, it shouldn't be the case that 10 people could beat up 100 people. Right? But that's the kind of miracle that God does. He allows 10 people to do the work of 100, 1,000, 10,000. Right? Rishayim, yeah, the whole story is basically the same thing. It's just with people. Now, I'm convinced, and smarter people than me are convinced, that that's exactly what happened. Meaning, there was a miracle in a war, and we won the war, And that really is why there's a holiday. But what happened? Think to our own lives. As time passes on after you win a war, what seemed miraculous to you when it happened, over time gets attributed to bravery, military strategy, better equipment. Excellent. Six-day war, right?
Yeah, it war seemed, of independence.
Okay, whichever one. Seemed obvious to everybody. It was a miracle. But over time, right,
yeah,
we reinterpreted it to be something else. Come along Chazal, Lishana Acheret, in a different year, Chazal come along and say, we're going to have a holiday of Hanukkah because of the miracle in the Beit HaMikdash of the oils. Why? The other one's so much bigger. But that's a miracle that's hard to deny. Right? You can't say that they had a fancy plan and that's how... That seems like a regular miracle. It's not. It's a symbolic miracle. It didn't matter that much. But it's the miracle that proved that the other thing is a miracle. Right? If after the Six-Day War, you know, the Jewish people were at risk, it could have been over for us, we won the war. Imagine if after we won the war, then some minor miracle, minor but undeniable miracle happened. It would have saved us. Because then it would have been clear that the war itself was a miracle. But we've all lived through, or almost lived through, this exact situation where over time people start to attribute what seems to be obviously a miracle to something else. Now, what's strange is God could do miracles that are obvious. Presumably he could have done a miracle during the war that was obvious. But he didn't. He didn't allow us to do it. It's as if the need for us to doubt ourselves and to doubt that it's a miracle is part of the human experience and part of the holiday itself. So the simple answer is that God did a miracle along the lines of the other miracle. Right? If we're right, if the answer to the question is, you know, why 8 days and not 7 days? So the answer is because it was a miracle in quality that God took this thing and it happened the first day also. Right? That's just a technical question, but it allows us to discuss the idea that the miracle of the oil mimicked the real miracle.
Of winning the war.
But the thing is, whenever it's a miracle that's not yesh me'ayin, it's not ex nihilo, it can be denied. Because there's a rational explanation, right? There was a drip of oil. So now it's a strange thing. It's true, it turned into gallons of oil. But okay, I have some idea how that could have happened because it started with oil, right? The war started, you know, there was a regular war. It happens to be that it ended miraculously, but it's a regular war. And therefore, the two miracles complete each other. And the Gemara is saying, halachic question. That's why the question the Gemara asked, my Hanukkah. As a narrow halachic question, why was Hanukkah established? And the answer is because of the miracle of the oil. But Al-Anisim tells us the real story. The real story was Hanukkah exists because it's an incredible miracle where Jewish sovereignty was restored to the Jewish people. Right? It's just that it's hard, because the way God runs the world, it's harder to see that miracle. Now, this raises, I think, another fascinating idea, which is, you know, our role in the world. Now I'm editorializing, but I believe this deeply, which is, what does it mean that miracles only happen yesh me'esh and they don't happen yesh me'ayin? The answer is, it means we have to always do something. I mean, we have to act first. And only then does God act. Right? If we sat around and said, listen, God, if you want to beat the Greeks, you know, make a miracle, then it never would have happened. Right? It's a whole worldview, but I think it's a correct worldview. This whole worldview that says, you know, let God do his part, I think it's not a religious worldview. It's inconsistent with the story of Hanukkah. Yes, I'm obviously thinking of the state of Israel, but I'm not going to say it because then it would be too obvious. Unless I just said it.
We
I discuss it all the time because I'm obsessed with the idea. But now I have a better thing to say, and because it's just after the Shiva, I'm happy to quote my father who told me this when I was a little boy. Okay? One of the best answers to the Beit Yosef's question, I think it's a Sfasemis that my father quoted to me. It doesn't matter, it's a great answer. The simplest answer is why 8 days if the miracle only took 7 days? The simplest answer is what? One day for the miracle of the war, and then 7 days for the miracle of the lighting. But my father said, no, one day is for us. Because if you come to the Beit HaMikdash and you say to yourself, we need oil for 8 days, and we don't have it, so one approach is, okay, so we'll wait, right? The other approach is, we'll light. We'll do our part. It's true, it's not going to light. There's no reason rationally to think it's going to light for 8 days. But we have to do our part. And it's only when we do our part that God steps in. That's the theory of miracles. If we just sit around waiting for God to do it, He's not going to do it. He made a rule. He told us that. Those are the rules. But the definition of miracles demands that we be proactive.
We had a fight in order to cause trouble.
Good. Say that also. I think it's true about the war, which is, and it's really true when, in the context, which is, we could have lived under Greek rule, right? They canceled some halachos. They didn't destroy the Beit HaMikdash. They weren't slaughtering us.
Shabbat Bar Milah and Rosh Chodesh, that's pretty...
Yes, but I don't believe any of those are Yehareg Val Yavor.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
But at some point, people made a decision. People made a decision that we have to push back. And presumably they hoped that if we push back, God will help us. It's as simple as that. It's a huge idea. Now, one thing is, let's take a break and just make one other point. If you look at source number 6, see a really interesting Rambam. At the very end of Megillah of Chanukah, the Rambam says, Mitzvos ner Chanukah, Mitzvah chavivahi admaod. Loosely translated, the Rambam was saying, I love Chanukah. I love lighting menorah, right? V'tzarich adam lizaher ba kdei lodiyah hanes lotziv, and you have to be very careful with it. Now, if you read Rambams, and certainly if you read Rambams in the Yad HaChazakah, you know that the Rambam doesn't, you know, editorialize. The Rambam doesn't let you know, I love Chanukah more than I love... You know, it's weird to read in the Rambam, Mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od, right? Lighting Chanukah menorah is one of the most beloved mitzvahs ever. Is it more beloved than Shabbos? Is it more beloved than matzah? It's a drabanan. Rambam loved it. Now, what makes it even more shocking is source number 7, where the Rambam describes the history. Then the Rambam says, "V'bayit sheni kishemalchu yavan gazru gzeirot al Yisrael ubitlu datam." They made religious life almost impossible. V'lo hinichu otam lasok b'torah v'mitzvot u'pashtu yalam b'mamonam v'notehem. Right, life was really intolerable. V'nichnasu la'ichalu partzu bo pratzot v'timu atarot. Okay, they came into the Beit Hamikdash and they metame things. They did bad stuff. V'tzar lahem liYisrael ma'od mipnehem, and it was miserable for the Jews. V'lachatsum lachatz gadol. They were under huge pressure. One second. Ad sherichem aleihem alokei avoteinu v'hoshiyam miyadam. God saved us. V'hitzilam v'gavru b'nei chashmonei hakohanim hagadolim hagdolim v'hargum v'hoshiyu Yisrael miyadam. Okay, we were saved. Great. The Rambam continues, last line. V'he'emidu melech min hakohanim. They made a king. V'chazra malchut liYisrael yeter al matayim shana. Ad ha-churban ha-sheni. Meaning, the Rambam knows that Jewish history was not changed by the story of Hanukkah. The Rambam himself says, and historians dispute it a little bit, the Rambam says, no, it's great. You know why? Because we had another 200 years of Jewish sovereignty. But in the end, they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Right?
So we invited the Romans in?
All kinds of mistakes. So I'm saying... despite the fact that the Rambam himself acknowledges that it didn't change history, the Rambam says, Mitzvah chaviva hi admaod. He loves Ner Chanukah. And I believe it's the same idea. What happened, you know, in the time of the Hashmonaim? The answer is, we acted. Right? We stepped up, and we said, we want to change things. And it could be another big historical point. It was an incremental change, if anything. It didn't change Jewish history. It didn't stop the Beit HaMikdash from being destroyed. It didn't stop the second exile. But I think what the Rambam's saying is, it doesn't matter. Right? We got another 100 years. We got another 150 years. We got another 200 years. The Rambam is saying, when Jews act, and they act the Shem Shamayim, and God helps them, you celebrate that for what it's worth. And again, not to beat to death this Israel idea, but we're 70 years in. God forbid. You know, the whole idea that it's all or nothing, the whole idea that either this is Mashiach comes, or the whole enterprise was a waste, I think the Rambam would say Hanukkah proves otherwise. Hanukkah proves that fixing Jewish sovereignty for 50 years or 100 years is worth celebrating. Yes, they hoped that the Beit HaMikdash would never be destroyed, and we hope that the state of Israel will lead to the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. But I think what the Rambam is saying is, if it doesn't, it doesn't undermine the importance. It doesn't mean it doesn't matter. It's not the way people think that either Mashiach comes or we're wasting our time. We don't lead our lives that way, right? We don't say to ourselves, well, what's the point of getting married or having kids, you know, if it doesn't directly lead to the coming of the Messiah? The answer is because God put us on this earth to live, and God wants the world to be a better place, and God wants Jews to live in freedom and have Jewish sovereignty. And the Rambam says, we got Jewish sovereignty. Not forever, but we got Jewish sovereignty, and that's worth celebrating. I'm on a roll. 1 second, and then you could go. Last idea. Oh, sorry, Mr. Weiser could go. Yeah. Okay. There's a thing about that, but what are you going to do? Chazal don't say that. Chazal don't say that. You're right that it's... Yeah. They rededicated the Beit HaMikdash for some period of time. I agree with you. Now, bigger point about rabbinic holidays. And this will be my last point, then everybody could attack me. What's the difference between the Oraisa holidays and Drabanan holidays? So there's a million differences. Isser Malacha, one is the Oraisa, one's Drabanan, right? But when you cut through it, there's something obvious that we don't focus on. Okay? If I ask you when Pesach is, what's the answer? Somebody should say. The 15th of Nisan. If I ask you what the dates are for holidays, if I ask you what you have to do on Pesach, what you have to do on Sukkot, you know the answer. Right? Okay? It's completely different for rabbinic holidays. What day is Purim? That's an answer. Come on, it's not a trick question. The answer is the 14th, or the 15th, or the 11th, the 12th, the 13th. Right? What do you have to do on Hanukkah? Right. How many?
Eight.
Well, it turns out it's not a machlokes. It's not at all a machlokes. There are three options. There's basic, one candle for the house. Mahadrin, right? Light the number of days for the house. Mahadrin, mina mahadrin, the way we do it, everybody lights the number of days. Do you have a halacha like that for, well, matzah, here's the basic thing. We don't have that for any other mitzvah in the Torah. Right? We have machlokasim, and there's a machlokas, how much you have to, but there's no three separate, right? The Gemara doesn't have a machlokas. It has three different standards. And here's what I think. Again, I'm sure I saw this someplace, but it was so long ago I can't remember. The answer is for Drabanan. Why do we have Drabanan holidays? What's the difference between Drabanan and Doraisa? What do we do Pesach time? The answer is essentially nothing. God did it. Right? God did Shavuos. According to one thing, God did Sukkot. But look at Purim, the first rabbinic holiday. The whole point was that God's name doesn't appear. Right? The rabbinic holidays are things that we did, are things that we control, are responses to our actions. And therefore, subtly, Chazal emphasized that by saying, you know, Torah holidays have a date. What's the date for Purim? You decide. Here's a range of days. Do it on the day that's most convenient for you. What do you have to do on Hanukkah? Here's three options. You decide. Because the holidays are generated by human action, the halacha reflects that and allows us to have much more input into how we celebrate the holiday than we would ever have for d'oraisa. So at the end of the day, what's the reason for Hanukkah? Both are. The miracle of the war is the real driving force, but the miracle of the war could be denied. Just like any human action could be understood to be natural, even though in your heart you kind of know it's miraculous. So Chazal said in the Gemara, the reason is because of the miracle of the oil, because that miracle couldn't be denied. But that miracle wasn't substantive at all. That miracle wasn't a big deal. But it proved that the other things were a big deal. And it answered our demand. When we lit menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, it was just like when we went to war. We were saying to God, we'll do our part, you do your part. And the answer is, it doesn't matter that it didn't lead to the coming of the Mashiach. We celebrate things that don't lead to the coming of Mashiach. It's a modern, bizarre idea that everything in Judaism is all or nothing. Right? Either it leads to the third Beis HaMikdash, or it's useless. Wrong. That's not the idea. That's not the idea behind rabbinic holidays at all. Purim didn't lead to anything. We were still the slaves of Ahasuerus, but it was worth celebrating. Hanukkah didn't do anything other than defer the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. But it's worth celebrating, and that the real message to us is that there are many things in our lives that are worth celebrating. And we make a huge mistake when we pretend that it's all or nothing. Yeah, I know this is great, but... Well, if it's great, thank God for it. If it's great, celebrate it. It's true, tomorrow might be a bad day. And it's true that bad things might happen. But we're at it for 70 years, you know? We've had Jewish sovereignty for 70 years. How could you deny that that's not a great thing? Do I know that it's necessarily going to bring the third Beis HaMikdash? I don't. But I know that Hanukkah didn't, I know that Purim didn't, and Chazal thought it was worth celebrating, and I think our job is to be able to see the miraculous where otherwise we might just see the natural. And that's the rule that God implemented in the world that He created. Happy Hanukkah.
Dear brothers.